Outside the 10, high and left side spot.
Feel the magic carpet and ride it to the heavens, baby. Reach up to a star and bring it down.
Sean Kemp Redemption. Who's here today? Matthew, are you here?
I am here today. I'm in a really good mood.
Excellent! David!
I'm here.
John?
I'm in an average mood.
Yes, I am here. And thanks, everybody. I just want to welcome our live studio audience to the show today. How are you guys doing? thank you.
You're great.
You guys are far too kind.
Anyway, so the first week of basketball is pretty good. I mean, like there are countless buzzer beaters.
Countless.
I can count them.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
there were a lot of great close games.
Did anybody see the Lakers game yesterday? The Lakers and the what's their name?
Pacers.
Nope.
Yes, and George Hill hitting a shot. Was it over Howard at the end?
I think so. Once again, like just driving into the lane, hitting a game-winning shot. Same thing he did against Toronto.
All right, we have a few teams we're going to get to. And here is how we are going to decide what team. We're playing a game. It's called Guess the Line. I'm going to read you somebody's line from this season, and you're going to guess who it is. That will be the team who we discuss. I'll read a line. You get one guess. If you get it, we do that team. If not, we move on.
Is the team's line?
This is an individual's line.
Do we know the team? We just know the line?
Just pick the player. Here's a player. Here's his line for this season so far.
Oh.
16.9 points, 1.1 assists. 13.2 rebounds.
Zach Randolph.
That's
Zach Randolph? Yeah.
What do you think? You think the Grizz are better than the Lakers, Matthew? You did before the season, right?
Everyone maligned me when I said the Lakers would finish third in the Western Conference. And what did I have the Grizzlies? I think fourth.
I think you had them winning everything. You had the Grizzlies in, I believe, the something.
I think you had them going maybe fourth, but still going in the conference finals.
Yeah.
So your Grizzlies pick is looking good, Matt. Tell us what has looked right about the Grizzlies so far.
Well, what's looked right about the Grizzlies is that their front court is meshing beautifully. What we forget about this Grizzlies team is that a fully healthy Rudy Gay and a fully healthy Zach Randolph have not played together very much, and they're playing together now. They're paying big dividends. Mike Conley Jr., you know, not the flashiest point guard name out there, but another quietly
doing a great job. Yeah,
another quietly productive season by him.
Would you say that Zach Randolph is unathletic?
I would say that.
Would you use that word to describe Zach Randolph?
At this point, yes, because he's definitely
because he can't jump.
Yeah, he's definitely lost a step. I mean, he's relying more on his pullback jumper.
I was listening to something, and they were talking about all unathletic teams in the NBA based around Zach Randolph.
I think he kind of looks unathletic. I mean, if you're basing athleticism based on, like, how much one can, like, run and jump.
I mean, he's
yeah,
so
that's,
fast.
Yeah, that's the standard.
Yes. It is, yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of footwork, he's one of the best.
But he's been really good. And Zach Randolph's great. I'm really glad he's on all my fantasy teams. I believed in Zach Randolph, but I also don't believe that he's going to be healthy come playoffs.
I mean,
this is the Grizzlies peaking right now.
I don't know. I think that...
What seed did the Grizz end up with? Everyone. David.
The Grizz?
Currently, third
seed.
The third?
Yeah.
All right. That's high, John.
I think they'll have a great regular season. They might go second. I mean,
wow.
I mean, they might
right.
go
second. That's
no,
high.
But the thing is, but the thing
might
yeah,
go second
I agree
is
with,
pretty high.
I agree with you that this is the peak. I mean, in say the conference finals, Rudy Gay taking the last shot, really? I mean, they still have the same problems.
I think Zach Randolph could take the last shot. I mean, Zach Randolph.
He did the last time they got.
Yeah,
that
he did
far.
The last time. But he's not quite the monster that he was.
That's right. That was a crazy year.
That year against
that was
the Spurs.
Awesome.
He was amazing.
He was the MVP
phenomenal.
Of the playoffs.
He was unstoppable.
That is Zach Randolph people. I mean, that will not ever happen again.
They've filled the holes of the outside shooting that I thought they had at the beginning of the year. Pondexter. Yeah. I mean, they've filled out the bench much more admirably than I originally thought. But at the same time, you still got Rudy Gay probably taking the last shot at the end of the game. I mean, their front court's been the best front court in the whole league.
Matthew, will you go higher than maybe a number two?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's hard to see them, you know, having a better record than the Thunder and the Spurs.
I agree.
I guess I would go three.
All right, well, I'll just take the under on all of this. I think they're getting up a 4 or 5 seed still. But and I think they'll be a scary 4 or 5. They could beat the Spurs, I think, easily in the first round of the playoffs.
I disagree, though, with your contention that they're going to be a bad playoff team. Like, I think that...
I just said they beat the Spurs in the playoffs.
No, I think that they have a ceiling that's clearly definable. Like, you know, there's... While a lot of teams can surprise each other throughout the beginning of the year, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, the Grizzlies aren't going to have that many new tricks come June,
yeah,
July.
So that's possible as well. All right, next line, are you ready? 10.4 points per game, 33 minutes per game, 46% from the field, 62% from the line, 1.3 assists per game.
Blake Griffin?
No, I'm going to give you the next number and you're going to know. Does anyone have any guesses?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
12.4 rebounds per game. 10.4 points.
J.J. Hickson?
Former Chicago Bull.
Tyson Chandler?
This is embarrassing. I'm kind of embarrassed.
What? Who is it?
Who's Omer Asik?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Omer Asik. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plays basketball. He plays on the Rockets. And he is shooting 62% free throws and 46% from the field, which is massively, massively over his number with the Bulls. And he's doing that with many more minutes.
Yeah, he had the block mm-hmm. on Joakim Noah on the day before Thanksgiving.
And he's top 5 rebounding, I think, in the league.
Number 3.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's pretty good. Omar is looking like he was totally worth that money now, eh?
So, should the Bulls have kept Omar and amnestied Boozer this past summer?
Yes. They should have done
a lot.
No, you
think so? I mean, I think defense...
They should have paid the fucking money for Omer. That's the point.
I would say Omer over Taj. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
But I don't even know why the Bulls are making this choice anyway. Like, fuck it.
Yeah,
pay
really.
The money.
Yeah,
go
really.
Over the motherfucking cap.
They have no balls to take.
That's
any...
not balls. It's their fucking liars. They bring in more money than almost any other team in the league. And as fans, Bulls fans are convinced at this point to talk about this team as if like, well, was Heinrich? Oh, the Heinrich deal was bad because it maxed out our cap right there, so we couldn't bring in an 11th man
bidding,
off the bench.
Bidding against no one.
It's like, you know what? I don't give a shit how much money the fucking Bulls spend. Spend it all. Because fuck you. If we don't get a championship out of this Derrick Rose run, fuck you. Fuck you as an organization. I will never, ever, ever give a shit about the Bulls again. I will put my jerseys in the toilet like Drew Gooden requested before the game on Thursday. On Twitter, Drew Gooden, former Bull, and he did play under Skiles, correct?
Drew Gooden, I believe, I mean, the Scots, he was definitely in the Vinny Del Negro era.
I thought there may have been a half season
of overlap.
Because they
the
got
Skiles.
Him.
Oh, it might have been Boylan, actually.
Oh, you're right.
But
you're
anyway,
right.
Yeah.
All right, well, regardless, one step away from Scott Skiles. Drew Gooden sent a tweet that he would send free tickets to the game where the Bucks, the team he plays on, were playing the Bulls, and he got 3. Can anyone guess? 3 flush jerseys he got. Guess which was the winning jersey. Whose jersey was it that was being flushed?
I already saw. Kirk Heinrich.
Yes, that's correct. Kirk Heinrich was the being flushed jersey. And I think we all can agree that they feel the same way.
They were college teammates.
Yeah, to Drew Gooden's credit, he did say, I hate that it's Kirk's, but...
Yeah,
oh, well,
he cares. Has anyone? I haven't seen Drew Gooden this year. What's his hair look like?
No, he's injured. Oh, his hair? His goatee?
Yeah, that's all. No, does he... I mean, is there anything on the back?
He's shaved... No, there's nothing on the back. I actually went to a Milwaukee Bucks game a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Drew Gooden. The Bucks lost by... The Bucks lost at home to the Boston Celtics.
How did Brandon Jennings do?
Brandon Jennings did awfully. Brandon Jennings was simply out of the game. He scored 3 points. He dribbled the ball up, and he depressively... dumped it off underhanded to Monta.
How many assists did he have that game?
About 4.
That's not good. He played a lot of it. How many three-pointers did he miss in that game?
He barely even tried. There's something wrong with him, but... Monta Ellis. It was no laughing matter. Monta Ellis scored like 31 points, but wasn't enough. But anyway, during that Bucks game, I have a Drew Gooden story. They had, like, Bucks trivia during the start of the fourth quarter, and they were like... they were like...
Tell me about Bucks trivia.
What they asked.
True or false? The questions were really dumb, I thought. But they said, true or false... Bucks forward Drew Gooden, who at that point, I think he was a DNPCD in that game, they asked, true or false, Drew Gooden is nicknamed The Truth. And, you know, everybody was like, false. Paul Pierce, who was on the Celtics, you know, who we were watching a Bucks
was
Celtics
it incorrect?
Game. But no, they said true. And they said that Drew Gooden, much like fellow Kansas alum Paul Pierce, is called The Truth.
By whom?
I don't know who, but the point
is...
Is
that what Scott Skiles calls him?
After that timeout, Paul Pierce erupted.
Wow.
Pierce had scored 7 points at halftime. He finished the game with 34 points in a Celtics victory.
So this will be go down Michael Jordan's revenge games. Paul Pierce's Drew Gooden revenge game.
Yeah, Paul Pierce's Drew Gooden revenge game. So incensed.
Did they have another piece of trivia? Did the Bucks overpay for Charlie Villanueva?
No.
No?
That was the question of the Bucks trivia was true or false. Andrew Bogut was the right number one overall pick in 2000.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I know that's low class. Tell me a little about your past.
She said, well, I got courage, and I don't like courage. Uh-huh. I've never been to college, but I've got crazy knowledge. Uh-huh. Over 18, and my eyes are green. Uh-huh. I wear more gold than that man on 18. Uh-huh. Trim, slim, and I'm also light skin. Best believe Mona's a virgin.
A virgin?
Honey needed a slap.
She tried to tell me she's a virgin.
With a yay white gap.
I said, it don't matter, see, I'm not picky. What? Let me spell my name out for you, it's Ricky.
Yeah. Ravishing, impressed, courageous, or careless.
Yay.
For the Kangos, which I've got, that I wear every day.
And why?
Why not?
To fight's not right that I recite tonight.
Quite polite like Walter Cronkite. Well, just about then, Trevor, my friend, came in. He said, hey, Rick, don't you know playing with...
The Rockets. John.
Omer
Asik.
Oh.
James Harden.
Jeremy Lin.
Some other people.
No, but, like, you know, okay. I think
Jeremy Lin is shooting, like, 35%.
Jeremy Lin's
not
doing
not
too
good.
Good. Not He's looking
not
too
look
good. James Harden, I can safely say, has blown away all of our expectations.
Yes, I feel bad about
everything I ever
said.
Let's just be honest. Yeah.
I like James Harden.
He's proven
I worry
he can
about,
be a number one go-to guy on
it's
the team.
Too
I
mean,
early. It's too early.
It's still too early. But, I mean, how many games is he going to play? Is he going to play at this level for an entire season? If yes, is he going to do it next season?
I mean,
hell no.
No, because, well, you know, every team is zeroing in on him as the only offensive threat, which probably explains
why
his
free throw
Chandler,
numbers are
whatever,
insane.
Got, yeah.
He's gotten superstar calls in this league immediately, mm-hmm. and I think that's been a huge help to him. The beard helps.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, people recognize, like, you know.
He gets the same calls that, like, I mean, not Tim Duncan, but a lot of people will... A lot of stars in this league. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets some Kobe calls.
Did you guys see the technical free throws he did with no one there, and he still high-fived the
Yes,
air.
And I appreciated
that.
That
was awesome.
That was the last person that did that, I remember, was Andrew Bogut.
He high-fived
Except his teammates
himself.
Were actually standing at the free throw line, and they just were ignoring him! Lin's bad. Any other Rockets thoughts, predictions? They're an interesting team, I can say that.
Okay, let me give you this
comparison.
They're really
missing Chase Harden.
Higher than Paul Pierce? Is that an appropriate ceiling?
Paul Pierce is like 90 million years old.
No. Okay, but Pierce had his best.
Oh, Pierce.
No. Is that an appropriate comparison for James Harden?
Oh, yeah, Pierce Light.
Yeah.
Wait, Harden is like, he's sort of short for a shooting guard, right? He's like 6'4"? Like he's
6'5".
He's big, though. He's long with his arms.
And
he has a beard. It makes
him taller.
I know he has a beard.
Yeah, I liken him to, like, you know, a Paul Pierce, Manu Ginobili amalgam. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's lefty. That sounds about right.
Yeah, like, when Manu was up, his first contract was up, Kiki Vanderway on the Nuggets scooped him up and tried to sign him and Kmart on the Nuggets, which would have meant that Ginobili had to be the man. And Ginobili never had to be the man. His body broke down. He got older. But I feel like this is like as close a window as we'll ever see of, like, you know.
He could also be a rich man's Michael Finley.
I think he could be have a Mitch Richmond career. Where
he is not nearly the defender that Mitch Richmond was and never will be.
What about the shooter, too?
Yeah. No. I don't think so. But
I just mean in terms of offensive production for a Western Conference team that never goes anywhere.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh. I think that could very much be the case. Well, that's kind of sad. Sorry, James Harden, we love you, but
I don't mean to belabor a previous podcast point, but the Rockets would be a legitimately good team instead of this sort of like interesting sideshow team if they had kept Lewis Scola.
I think that Scola move will haunt them forever, and that will end up being Daryl Morey's legacy. And the thing that when he talks about his own career, he'll end up talking about, I really fucked up that Scola thing.
Yeah,
which is pretty funny.
Yeah, but he also totally hit on the Omar Asik signing, which had a lot to do with that. Yeah. I mean, it gave them the leverage to at least throw that crazy offer out there. And you know what? Asik's been great, but they could have them both.
I still think Lin can pan out. Obviously, he's
hit. Yeah, he's not done.
You know, a lot of people are shitting on him. I mean,
well, he's played really shitty.
He's played really shitty. He's had a few.
What if they had Kyle Lowry right now? This team would be number one seed.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they've had Lin's had his moments, but like what I've been just shocked and appalled at is how brutally awful he is defensively.
Yeah,
like he's.
Well, the Knicks covered it up a lot last year.
Yeah, I know. And, like, Lin can't even stay out on the floor for the fourth quarter. Like, it's pretty bad.
It is. All right, I got another line for you. This one is harder. And considering you didn't get Omer Asik, I'll give you some help. 37 minutes a game, 15.3 points per game, 4.8 assists, 6.9 rebounds. Those numbers all make sense. These numbers are a little bit out of line. 52% from the field and 91% for free throws. 91% for a dude getting 6.9 rebounds, 15.3 points. I'll give you a hint. He's doing better than his brother.
Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol shooting that from the line. Marc Gasol.
That's all he's getting in rebounds?
Wait, Marc Gasol's getting 7 rebounds and 5 assists a game?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
In 15 points in 37 minutes.
That's the line. I mean, that's...
That makes no sense.
And that, like, their
it's
little
like an
reversible...
Andre Iguodala line.
Yeah.
Yeah, their little reversible high-low is kind of indestructible. I mean, like, they just have either Gasol or Randolph at the high. You know?
Yeah. Powell's line right now, 13.1 points per game, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 42% from the field. And Paul Gasol, trade rumors, heating up.
Which is ridiculous.
Exactly.
He is the most talented big man, offensively talented big man.
If you can't win with Paul Gasol, you should quit.
Seriously.
Which is what the Grizzlies did, and it was like, correct, that was the right move. You can't win with him, just fucking quit.
Yeah, I mean...
And it all worked out.
He's being relegated to a spot-up jump shooter, like at the top of the key in this D'Antoni offense.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Which is... so awful.
And there's no reason, but I think if they had an actual point guard, this would function. Mm-hmm. It would work just fine. Who was the starting point guard the other day? It's not even Steve Blake.
Morris.
It's Morris fucking Chris Duhon.
Oh, yeah.
Man, watch a documentary that is strictly Chris Duhon playing with teams that make no sense. Chris Duhon on the Bulls, the Knicks.
I bet it'd be pretty
and
boring.
The Lakers. Chris Duhon is
that's not a documentary I would pay to see.
But I think the Lakers are, honestly, I don't have a lot of opinions about this season other than it's too early to decide anything.
Well, you, Chris, you were very
Lakers are my
adamant
pick to make it to the finals still. I've changed none of my predictions whatsoever at this point. Not one. Lakers, I mean, all right. Lakers, not the number one seed, but I'm still taking them to get to the finals.
I'd like to change my Wizards prediction.
Oh, do you? Do you, David? Because let me read you a Wizards line that I had set.
Please do.
All right, so 5.4 assists per game, 5.9 rebounds per game, 15.5 points per game, 40% from the line, and 75% from free throws. That is the best line if you put together everybody on the Wizards. Those are the team leaders. And that 15.5 points is Nene, who's played two games.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's fucking like...
That's encouraging.
I don't even know who it is. AJ Pierce, is that a basketball player?
I don't think
that's
that is
a combination
a
of
player.
Two people on the Wizards.
Yeah, that is a, that's a funny team. So, David, we'll give you that one. We'll give you that one back.
Yeah, I'll take
You know what? I say they end up... Oh, I don't know. Is there anybody? I think there's a chance that the Bobcats could still be worse.
Bobcats have a winning record.
Yeah, have a winning record.
Kemba Walker looks really good. I mean,
yeah.
Listen to the
words coming out of your mouth.
Did anyone see the double overtime thriller against the Bobcats and the Wizards?
Tell us about
it.
Oh my God! What an ugly game! It's like Not only is it a contest of who's going to lose first. It's also a contest of who's the most inept, who's the most inexperienced.
Who was shining that day for the Bobcats?
Oh, God. I know Byron Mullins jacked up a lot.
Byron Mullins is having a great season.
Byron Mullins has pretty much put that team on his back. He is. He's amazing.
He has quieted all the
Who would you
Byron
take
Billings
right now,
doubles.
Byron Mullins or Andrea Bargnani? This season, who would you take?
Okay.
All right. Byron Mullins. He's really good. He's better than Darko. That motherfucker's a basketball player.
Byron Mullins is single-handedly saving Michael Jordan's reputation.
He really is. I hope they play Canasta together publicly. Thank you! all right, so... Any other really serious thoughts about the NBA season thus far? I don't have any.
I just have one last Lakers comment.
All right.
To not speak about them ad nauseum, but I will change my finals prediction, which I originally made just to throw some bullshit out, because I mean, at the beginning of the season, who can really tell? But I will now say that if the Lakers make it to the finals, they will most definitely lose because D'Antoni... is an awful in-game strategist.
Yeah, no one's failed upward, it seems like, more than him. Especially financially. Does anybody know the numbers on the deal? I mean, it must have been a real big chunk of money, right?
Probably.
And what the fuck has Mike D'Antoni done? Other than be the coach of an exciting team that had Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
He wasn't... I mean, it's unfair to put him, like, in the Rick Adelman category of, like, distinctively bad playoff coaches. I mean, he had some bad luck in Phoenix. Those teams, they didn't...
Running into Greg Popovich every year?
Well, I've already
Lakers Spurs.
I've already said the Lakers are losing in the Western Conference semifinals. All right. Listen to the first
Matthew,
podcast.
If it was Lakers Spurs and the Spurs didn't have Duncan, who would you pick in that playoff series?
What?
Who would you pick?
The Lakers are healthy. I would pick the Lakers, but if the Spurs did have Duncan, I'd pick the Spurs.
Okay. Well, who else can I take off then? Ginobili's hurt. Ginobili's out for 3 games. Who wins?
These are leading questions.
Came home to party and work had a hard day. Look around your house and say, where the fuck are they? Run upstairs up to your bedroom. You look inside your room, you see something groom. Cover your mouth because you almost choke. You see the mailman tuck up your wife's throat. Treat him like a prostitute.
Treat him like a prostitute.
Cheating a girly well. Cheating a girly well. Cheating a girly well until you're sure.
I'm going to do a brief book report.
This is a book that has color photos, and it's by, who's it by, David?
Jack McCallum.
What else has he written, Matthew? Where do I know that name from?
Jack McCallum was the main basketball writer for Sports Illustrated, main pro basketball writer for Sports Illustrated, between the years 1985 and 1994.
And is this his most famous book?
His most famous book is maybe 7 Seconds or Less, a book about the 2006 Phoenix Suns.
We were just discussing them. How interesting.
Yeah.
That's right, we were!
All right, and did this book about the Dream Team, did this end his Sports Illustrated career? What year did this come out, Dream Team?
Dream Team just came out.
It just came out?
This is
after the documentary, they put out a book.
Yes.
Which was better?
I wasn't that into either.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement, Matthew.
I was more into the documentary.
What about, I mean, because they had John Stockton standing around and no one.
I don't like John Stockton.
But he was funny.
What? He's totally your guy. Why was he not?
Okay, John.
According to Advanced Metrics, John Stockton was the second greatest player of the 1990s.
I'm glad you brought up Advanced Metrics, because that's actually the one point I wanted to make about this book.
Are you serious?
I am so Jack. Go, Matt. Ready.
I rather did not like this book. There was a lot of name dropping and so forth, but that's not that interesting. What's interesting is that Jack McCallum is truly an old school basketball writer. Not once in this entire book.
Does that mean he doesn't believe in the 3-point line and he never once mentions it?
No, that's not it.
Does he disagree with the 24-second clock?
Is that Leonard Coppett, who's an old school basketball writer, but he's not that old. He's not that old school. Now, this book is about 300 pages in length, though, as Chris mentions, it includes about 16 pages of color illustrations.
Including a really good one of Chris Mullen on a treadmill. I'm not sure what I'm going to about this.
I know, that is hilarious. Oh, please, Matt, please, go on.
But anyway, Chris Mullen on a treadmill aside, there's 300 pages of material in this book. Not once does McCallum mention statistics. This is all about sort of qualitative impressions he's forming about players.
Based, I'm really interested in
largely
this one.
On like interviews with players, based largely on sort of being an insider, being in like the locker room with players. It's like totally the opposite, like, I don't know, journalism of like the emerging journalism of like John Hollinger or Kevin Pelton. Or, like, the big basketball writers now. The, like,
no, revisionist history through stats? Is that
yeah,
what you mean?
It's totally...
like it was written for 12-year-olds. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, if I was around that age and I read this book, I mean, this would read like a real inside book. Like, old, like, I mean, not Jordan Rules, but, yeah, something like that.
But this book is written in the style of the Jordan Rules. It's definitely a book... A throwback.
For
book
example,
of that
there's
era.
A 2x4 color photo that I can't even see who the people are, but they are playing instruments, and the caption is, "Jordan felt that David Robinson (parentheses) shown here jamming with Branford Marsalis in Barcelona loved music more than he did basketball." Another, not surprisingly, Clyde the Glide Drexler resented being a Dream Team add-on. And a picture of Michael Jordan with a cigar saying Jordan and Stogie were frequent companions, which is jovial as hell.
There are a lot of revelations in the book, such as those.
Alright. Anything else, man?
But what? Yeah, what?
How many Chris Mullins would you give this book?
I would give this book 2 Chris Mullins out of 7.
Ouch.
Oh, ouch.
Wow.
So, I mean, outside of the old school journalism, like what were the redeeming qualities and what were
the redeeming qualities was just like reading, I guess, qualitative basketball journalism, like reading him describe Scottie Pippen like trapping defensively, or like Larry Bird seeing the court. Like it was interesting that it was just like him writing about what he's seeing on the basketball court and what these like celebrity athletes are telling him. So like I guess like it was just like interesting to read that, because it's totally different from like the emerging, I guess, basketball journalism of today.
Yeah, but what I don't get a good sense of what are exactly your negative impressions.
Well, my negative impressions is that like it's just like he thinks that statements like Michael Jordan thought David Robinson liked music more than basketball are like revelatory, or that he thought that like he could like hang a book on him reminiscing about him covering the Dream Team.
Man,
a lot
this
of this,
one, this is a man
is
who
about
lives with his wife in Bethlehem.
No, I know. I read the back of that. He's a family man. I think that
telephone.
I was taken aback by the how self-referential the book was. Jack McCollum is always referring to himself and the fact that he personally knew the members of
this
the
This is
Jones
a man
team.
That's won the Kurt Gowdy Award.
It's
from
true.
The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Maybe. And the National Women's Sports Foundation Media Award.
I also
Yeah, let's give it up for the ladies.
I also never liked Jack McCollum as the beat writer for Sports Illustrated.
What were you looking for in this book?
I think I was looking for something that was really easy to read before I went to bed.
Were you hoping that the last paragraph of this book was, Chuck Daly died before I began the project? Over the years, we had talked often about his Dream Team experience, and I could feel his steady presence throughout. Was that the kind of book you're looking for, Matthew?
Hey, now that's not funny. I mean...
David, you're really concerned about this Andrew
no,
Bynum
No, I'm not concerned, but okay.
You seem really worried that
Why?
These star players like Andrew Bynum
Why don't
are getting
you
hurt.
Relax?
Seems like there's a lot of star players being hurt this NBA season. And I guess the reason I'm concerned is I was in a, I guess I still am in a fantasy basketball
in
league.
What?
And
what?
Who
did
I
you
missed...
draft?
Okay, here's
did
the situation.
Did you draft Andrew Bynum?
And Danny Green.
I have actually, no sympathy for you if you did.
So I missed the live draft because I was busy winning a PTQ to get back on the pro tour. All
right.
What and the fuck did you just say? Why don't anyway?
PTQ.
There were
a
lot
pro
of,
tour qualifying
there were
Magic
a lot of
the
letters.
Gathering tour, okay?
I had okay. to do something involving a lot of acronyms, and I missed the draft, and my team is composed entirely of injured players right now.
That sounds terrible.
Like about half. So I haven't really been...
Do you have Andrew Bogut?
I do have Andrew Bogut.
You have yeah, Andrew yeah. Bogut and have, Andrew Bynum?
Andrew Bogut and
Damn it. I don't,
they
Andrew
laugh
Bynum.
At your pain.
I did have Dirk Nowitzki, and I had some other people on there, too. I don't know. It seemed like everybody was injured. That's
David,
why
are
I
you
thought
aware?
There were a lot of injured players. But maybe they're, it's just because they're all on
are
my
Are you
team.
Aware that injuries to NBA players are publicly reported, and you could have found out this information before the draft?
Matt, what's this chip
Wait
doing
for
sitting
it.
Here on this jar? You saving that chip for later?
I don't want to eat the chip on the air. I'm being
All right, hold on. We got to take a break. So Matt
That's
can
eat
the
chip.
Excuse me, Mr. Gorge, you look nice. Uh-huh. Simply delicious, missy, want some kisses. Uh-huh. Let's go to the crib, get cozy in the nude, and treat me like a prostitute. No, pardon me, sir, I'm such a real lady. Riding Mercedes to make the bitches hate me. Cruise up and down the 125th. Looking for a guy like you to get with. I've seen his cutie pie, so I pulled beside him. Seen the size of his feet, so I couldn't deny him. Might as well try him, the freak that I am. M.S.E. always grinding. Please don't think I'm crazy.
All right, this welcome to John's reading railroad educational corner.
John is rubbing his hands together.
Elmo, whatever. Anyway,
reading railroad.
It's not the rainbow. It's reading
this is
railroad.
These are some anyway, instructions and some help on if you need help with the NBA League Pass, especially with their blackouts.
Their blackouts. Are you, like me, tired of blacked out games for your local team?
Yeah.
Then fuck the league pass. Then why the fuck are you... You're asking yourself why you fucking bought this overpriced league pass, which...
It doesn't work a lot of the time. Sometimes it does not work.
Sometimes it does not work in
the NBA
most...
is years behind other sports, especially baseball, when it comes to their online streaming.
Yes, especially and... most popular browsers that... Everyone uses
yes,
around the world.
Yes, that everyone uses. And did they raise their prices this year?
They raised them last year, I think.
They raised them last year and gave nobody a discount even though there were less games,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Oh, that is charming!
Dick.
All right, so tell us about the blackout restrictions and how to get around them, John.
So, I live in Chicago, and I cannot...
The Bulls play in Chicago.
I cannot watch
in
any
Spanish,
of...
In Spanish, that's Del Toros.
Any of the Bulls games. My favorite team. So, what I do...
David's favorite team is the Hawks.
David, this doesn't apply to you.
Anyway.
I'm not listening.
So, because the Bulls are my favorite team, I want to watch them. Now, they League Pass blocks out their local markets.
Well, as
in
does
order
everything.
To not, yeah, as...
And
yeah.
As does everybody.
I mean, rightfully so, in order to not cannibalize the local TV. I understand that.
Basketball is better about their blackouts than baseball, I would say.
Yeah.
And football. Because if they had to blackout games in the NBA because they didn't sell out, there would never be basketball on TV ever.
Especially the Hawks.
Especially the Hawks.
Hey, come on.
Oh. So, now what you do, boys and girls, is you get your league pass. Now, they keep track of your IP address, which is how they... No, you're in the local market.
So what do you use to get around that?
Now, you have to download a proxy server program.
Program do you use, John?
I use Netshade. Now, you have to register and buy it. I got around that by getting someone else's registration.
All right.
Now
But you used it from a friend's registration. What is the price of this program?
This price is about $10.
And where do their proxy lists come from?
They have 7 different locations in the U.S.
How long does
about
it take
20,
you to find a reliable 20, proxy on average?
Immediately.
They've got
a full list of about 20 different proxy servers in China, a couple in Saudi Arabia, all
over
the world.
Does each one last
now,
like a day? Or how long?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
A single proxy server, do you always connect to the same one, or does it every time you log on,
it's
a different one?
It floats a different one. You've got a long list of
do
different ones.
Do you float,
ones
like, within an hour sometimes? Will it drop you if your proxy server goes out? That's my question.
No.
It will connect you to another proxy.
Yeah, what I've sometimes done is connect it to the proxy, and if I have to go into my personal email or something, I turn it off, and the game still works. Now, the thing is, you have to choose a U.S.-based one, because we have, you know, I'm assuming you have a U.S. league pass, not the international version.
But if you went through from a U.K. address, I mean, I know that a lot of the games I watch online streaming are from Euro, German, or English a lot of the time streams.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't use a U.K.
No, it'll block you out. From what I can gather, it'll block you out because... you're registered as a U.S.
I
customer.
See. So you're still going through your registration. So it has to be in the country you're registered with.
Yeah.
So if you're in India and you're listening to this, you need to use an Indian proxy address.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. Now.
What a pander to our Indian listeners.
Hey.
Hey, I'll pander to all 2 of them. If we're lucky. Now, this only gets rid of the local blackout restrictions and not... the NBA TV restrictions, which I do not fucking understand.
Those are the ones that are the worst.
I don't understand how that cannibalizes them. NBA profits.
It does not.
Yeah. Because, you know...
You already bought the fucking league pass.
You already bought the league
pass. Like, what's the difference between buying that and buying every fucking NBA game that isn't the game that's across the street from me. I mean, that seems like it's what you're buying, you know?
Yes.
There shouldn't be a lot of television agreements. That...
Can you pay extra to buy a league pass to let you get the games that are on TNT and ABC?
No, you need the International League Pass. ESPN streams their games if you have...
Can you register and just say you're from Uzbekistan?
Ooh, that's a good question that I'd never thought of. And if you use a proxy server...
You could just be in Uzbekistan.
You could be in Uzbekistan.
What country? Korea has the best proxy servers, right?
Oh, that is true. They've got...
So if you register as a Korean, you would be fucking rolling.
Yeah, Korea and France have the best internet right now.
Oh, all right. Well, listeners, Koreans, French, be them. That's the way to get around everything for your League Pass issues.
Certainly not Belarus. They've got pretty good state-run internet, apparently.
Wow.
But anyway, that's how you get around it.
Wrist on froze, thanks to the stove. Mattress Financial, banks never close. Monday through Sunday, serve all addicts. Joey Van Gundy, watch me work the magic. And I ain't talking NBA. I ain't even touch the breath from jealous ones still envy me. Problem is these guys ain't even half what they pretend to be, Cardone. Now look at all the shots that they keep sending me.
Fat Joe, who sucks.
Fat Joe is Chris's favorite rapper after the Fat Boys.
Fat Joe's a terrible rapper. That song with Ashanti is probably the highlight of his career, and that isn't very good either.
Fat Joe.
David, do you still want to hit the button?
Fat Joe wants you to mistake him for Big Pun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Fat Joe had an interesting interview in the New York Times the other day, where he talked about how he helped recruit Amare and failed his recruiting attempts in Tony Parker and who else?
Chris Paul.
And Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of Fat Joe, as who the Knicks use, is an ambassador for the organization.
Well, also Isaiah Thomas.
Well, I figured that he recruited Isaiah Thomas. But Fat Joe said that Iverson was the Tupac of basketball, which I found lazy and stupid and correct.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ed McMahon is not here anymore. Okay.
I wasn't going for that one.
Okay. I would just build on Chris's comment and just add that I would contend, controversially perhaps, that one way that Allen Iverson and Tupac Shakur are alike is that they're both very culturally relevant and very famous figures that many people idolize for their maybe defying conventional society or something. But as the talents of their craft, they're actually overrated.
Yeah.
Tupac Shakur was not, even though Tupac Shakur is maybe the most famous rapper in the history of rap music, he's certainly not the best.
He's left on whose couch, Matthew?
He's certainly not the best, or even close to the best.
Who's the best?
Tupac Shakur. Huh? I would say that Rakim is better than Tupac Shakur. I would say that in terms of his contemporaries, that Nas and Notorious B.I.G. are better than Tupac Shakur. I would say that some members of the Wu-Tang Clan are better than Tupac Shakur. I think that Tupac Shakur, you know, other West Coast rappers are better than Tupac Shakur.
How many of them are better friends with Tony Danza than Tupac Shakur?
None. One, Ice Cube. I think that... I think that Tupac, my personal estimation, never made a great rap album. All of his rap albums were sloppy, self-indulgent, uneven. I think that... similarly, Allen Iverson is someone who, like Tupac Shakur, had a lot of great moments, but a lot of weaknesses, and, you know, I think is overrated as a basketball player. I would say that I think Notorious B.I.G. is great, and I think that, you know, Kobe Bryant or somebody...
Kobe Bryant
is the notorious...
Are you talking shit about Tupac Shakur? He's going to
fucking stab you from
the afterlife?
B.I.G.
After
alive or dead?
He is obviously alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's obviously very in vogue to shit on Tupac.
It's not in vogue to shit on Tupac.
It's in vogue.
No, it's
from
not
this
in
whole,
vogue to shit on Tupac.
Whole...
I've shit on Tupac since 1996, since I was 13. This is not in vogue.
You know, it's so, you know, from this faction of fucking dorks. That
dorks. Why'd you sit down and watch Poetic Justice, John?
I did about 2 months ago, and Maya Angelou's poetry is pretty bad in that movie.
Are you talking shit about Maya Angelou, man?
You're talking shit
about Maya Angelou and Tupac. Hey, what do you think about Jesse Jackson?
What broke
in the news today about Jesse Jackson Jr.? It said he quit because a tabloid was going to publish something.
Oh, really?
Don't you cover
this,
the news?
This is great live.
Don't you cover the news?
I quit my job.
Well, what do you think about Jesse Jackson Jr.? You have thoughts on it.
Well, I think that Jesse Jackson Jr. has a lot of problems, but is maybe unfairly maligned. Do his progressive politics...
Compare him to a basketball player that was contemporary.
Marginal. I think that Jesse Jackson
Stephon
Jr.
Marbury.
Is... That's actually...
I think you did it.
Crab loves it.
Oh, I love it when the podcast comes back around to Stephon Marbury. So
enough.
Do you think Jesse Jackson Jr. could get elected in China?
Jesse Jackson Jr. is the Ralph Sampson.
Could he be the president of China?
I think like Stephon Marbury and unlike Ralph Sampson, Jesse Jackson Jr. could have a second career in China. They could make a statue of Jesse Jackson Jr. in China.
It may cause concern, it's
boring.
Why don't you listen and learn?
Love takes happiness.
That once was strong,
but you to society,
even that's turned wrong.
Times have changed.
Hey, it's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy.
Have you forgotten
who put you on this earth, huh?
Who brought you out proud?
And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child.
Bad company.
Hey, now
okay.
You're
about the Grinnell point.
Who's graduated?
From
Grinnell University in this room.
Two out of four
two
people
out of four.
On average in this room.
Whoa.
Graduated from there.
Who in
hey, come on, John!
Man, fuck Grinnell.
Oh, whatever.
Fuck
you! We're a nationally respected liberal arts
That's
college.
Which one of them is in control.
You're
of
so
the
nationally
board.
Respected that now I think like Skip Bayless hates you.
Well, that's not saying.
I didn't mean that. Actually, it gives you more respect.
Oh, okay.
For all the people that didn't go to Grinnell that listen to this podcast, which is about four of you,
Lee Fiorio didn't go to Grinnell.
And fuck Lee Fiorio.
Lee Fiorio's winning
well
the lottery win. This
yeah,
week.
Yeah, right. Fuck Lee
he
Fiorio.
He entered the lottery and he's gonna win.
Yeah,
shout
great.
Out, represent.
Fuck guy.
He's gonna lose a fucking eye.
I don't know. If
Jake
that's how
Taylor
it works.
From the Grinnell. What is the team name?
His name is Jack Taylor.
Jack. But what's the team name?
The Pioneers.
The Pioneers
oh,
of the
okay.
Pioneers played in NCCAA school, which was like Saint Non-Existent Persons School of Baptist Justice or something.
That's
a school
it.
Of.
That's the one.
They played a school that had that's not an NCAA school. And has 300 people, and Jack Taylor, who does not wear Chuck Taylors, put up 138 points, and there's been a lot of outrage over this, because they run a fucked up stupid offense.
Fucked up and stupid, those are contestable words.
I also gotta say that regardless of all the mean things I've said about this school, I just don't give a shit about this. It's a totally meaningless thing to happen. But you interviewed, what's coach's name?
In 1999, when I was just in high school, I interviewed David Arsenal, who's the longtime
His
coach.
His name is Arsenal?
Yeah.
Did he change that?
It's spelled, there's a T in there.
Yeah.
Is it Canadian or something?
Oh, he's not like
I think he's French Canadian.
Continue. All right, so you interviewed this dude. For what?
For Slam Magazine.
Why was Slam interested in this dude in 1998?
Because of their offense. They have a crazy offense.
What was it? Was that the year like a dude scored like 110 from the school or whatever?
It was just the total constant unprecedentedness of the
offense.
Why
were they gaining attention in 98
there was no specific news.
How long has he been the coach of this team?
Like 20 years, 25 years.
Okay, and so this was, I mean, a while after he'd started. What happened in 1998 that brought...
Nothing happened in
Nothing in particular.
Nothing in particular happened.
All right, so what has happened?
So tell us about this offense.
Do you mind, can you tell me? I've heard it described.
Sort of an this isn't as useful to listeners as John's educational thing, but to give a brief... summary of this Grinnell offense and why somebody is able to score this literally incredible number of 138 points.
It was literally incredible.
In 40
minutes.
Did you
go to Grinnell?
Their offense.
So this is how their offense works. They have most basketball teams have 12 players. Grinnell has 15 active players. They actively play all 15. They play five for about 5 minutes of game time. They take them out.
Five, or is it four, and they sometimes leave one player on the court?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Stop bullying him.
All right. I'm listening, Matthew. Regale me with 138 points. How's it happen?
And then they do five, and then they do five, and they keep doing this. And all they basically do is they have a full court trap. They start trapping the other team at the start of when they inbound the ball. And if the other team breaks the press, they often just let the other team score so they can get the ball back immediately. Offensively, they shoot as fast as they can. They set goals for themselves before the game, not in terms of, like, we want to, play this kind of defense where you want to, have this kind of field goal percentage. They set specific goals before the game of the number of shots they want to take and the number of three-point attempts they want to take before each game. And they try to shoot as quickly as they can when they get the ball back, and they try to shoot three-pointers.
And Jack Taylor scored 138 points, and how many three-pointers did he shoot?
He shot 71 three-pointers during the course...
And he hit 38% of them.
During the course of a 40-minute college game, hitting 38% of them, which would roughly put him as an above-average three-point shooter if he were an NBA guard.
But this is also from a line that is different than in the NBA line.
27
It's from the college line, and it was against a non-NCAA team.
Right.
38% is not terribly impressive for unguarded three-pointers.
Just to clarify, I mean, one thing...
Was Kobe Bryant impressed?
They kept him in the game. They normally don't do that, but they kept him in the game. They did not...
What's Grinnell's record every year, generally?
Grinnell College finishes about third, usually second or third. They do well. They don't do great, but they finish, second
Who
or third in the Midwest
Conference.
While Ripon College, which is
That sounds made up. Go to the next college.
Which is the college that
no, next
my
college.
Parents
I don't care.
teach at.
Did Mark
Ripon
invent it? Former Super Bowl MVP?
Lived in Ripon. No, they're spelled and pronounced differently. Ripon College is often the number one Midwest college. There's also Knox College, Carroll College.
Do they have a fort? All right, so whatever, they play a bunch of fake schools. My thoughts
this is
on
Division III basketball. They're winning.
They weren't even playing a Division III caliber team.
When I was in college,
it was a sub-Division III caliber team.
When I was in college,
playing,
and also David Gleicher was in college in 2003-2004, they made the Division III tournament as the Midwest Conference champions. And they're a good school.
How did you interview this coach in 1998? Was it via mail correspondence?
It was, I called him on the phone.
Oh, was he a nice guy?
He was a nice guy.
Did you record it on cassette tape?
No, I did not record it.
Were there any weird noises in the background?
No.
He knew he was wrong, so he let the lady go and he starts to run on. Siren sounded, he seemed astounded, and before long the little boy got surrounded. He dropped his gun, so went the glory, and this is the way I have to end this story. He was only
17
in a madman's dream. The cop shot the kid, I still hear him scream. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. Just another case about the wrong path. Straight and narrow or your soul gets cast.
Good night.
Knock him out the box, Rick. Knock him out, Rick.
Slick Rick the Ruler is
The music that has been on the podcast today, because Slick Rick performed at the debut of the new New York rivalry, the Knicks and the Nets, at the, I don't even know, what is it called?
Barclay Center.
At the Barclay Center. Slick Rick got super booed the other night and was bad. And really deserved to be booed.
Did he do Children's Story? Did anybody actually see this performance?
Yeah, I think, yeah, he did all his hits. Yeah, he did that.
It was not good. Teenage Love was not featured, which I was really disappointed by. We're going to feature that.
I really like Teenage Love.
Me too, don't worry. We'll put that in there. But it was sad. The real hullabaloo, as it went about, was a writer on the internet tweeted that he said, Slick Rick. He was introduced as a hip-hop legend. He's like, who is this guy? A hip-hop what? And people got really, really mad that he discredited Slick Rick as a hip-hop legend, which he obviously is. But it was an awful, awful
right. I mean, he obviously is a hip-hop legend, but in fairness to this writer, the writer wrote it right after his performance, which was a universally...
Are you trying to protect the writers again?
...panned performance. I mean, all I'm saying is that...
Do you think he knew who Slick Rick was?
He was... No. He precisely was. And he was ignorant of the fact that Slick Rick was actually legitimately a hip-hop legend. But then he saw his performance and he was like, this guy's awful.
Who do you think would give a worse performance now, other than Slick Rick, who is currently alive? Big Pun
Big,
is not
Big
available.
Daddy Kane would probably give a worse performance. Right. I saw Big Daddy Kane here festival, and I talked to one of the openers at the in the food court area, and we're hanging out smoking weed.
Wait, this is at the mall?
No, at the festival on the south side.
Okay.
One of the openers, who's a really nice guy, I forget what group he was. Sorry, guy. But he said Big Daddy Kane was smoking crack in the trailer and that he did not come out and was a huge dick.
How was he a huge... Oh, he just... How do you know he's a huge dick if he doesn't come out?
Because he was supposed to perform at a specific time and came out an hour and a half late.
Oh, well, that's not good. David, can you pick anyone?
That's
worse
really
than those people.
I mean, who are they gonna? Who are the Nets gonna pull out? Are they gonna pull out the whole cadre of, like, you know, the New York hip hop scene? They kind of have to. I mean, because they're obviously the hip hop basketball team.
Yeah,
and so they'll pull out every New York stop.
I mean, they do need to save somebody for the. When's their All Star game?
The All Star is. I don't know.
I mean, they have one.
Oh, so, Brooklyn?
Right? I'm so. Yeah, they must.
Oh,
are years?
I do not know for sure, but
I mean,
they will get one.
They could have Wu-Tang All-Star Game. It could be real.
That
do you want to start,
get
like,
real.
Making signs for this now? Because that would probably be... That would give me a reason to wake up every day for the next however many years until there is that All-Star Game.
I don't know, but at the same time, it has to be Brooklyn only, because that's Shaolin. I mean, Lower East Side, if, like, you know,
how
what?
Disappointed.
Tribe is from the Lower East Side, I think.
A Jay-Z Beyonce halftime, which we are getting at the Super Bowl already. If that is at the All-Star game in Brooklyn, I'm going to be pissed.
Why?
Because fuck that shit. I'm bored.
You know, like, aesthetically, I mean... I think the jerseys
are overrated.
None of them say Nets on them. Even their home jerseys say Brooklyn on them.
They're really
I get
not
that they
want to
rep Brooklyn, and I get they want that old-timey aesthetic.
It's not even that old-timey. I mean, whatever. I don't even like the new Spurs weird uniforms that just have the Spur logo in the corner. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If they had something like that, I would actually be impressed that they at least tried something weird and interesting. Their uniforms are boring as fuck.
Maybe they should have just appropriated the New York Nets ABA uniforms.
I think
that would have been
much
great.
More appropriate.
And one thing, I don't know if you guys know this, but when I've been watching Nets games, I always think, like, the court's small. But I figured this out, because
it's the lighting, right?
No, it's not the lighting. I was watching an old DVD of the Celtics DVD, you know, the Dynasty series, whatever. And the older games...
You're watching Celtics DVDs?
I got really stoned and bored.
Okay.
But I watched some old Lakers and Celtics DVDs. But then, aesthetically, the camera, the overshot camera of the court these days is much higher. And obviously the players are much smaller. But I'm willing to bet they made the aesthetic decision to place the camera lower and closer to get an old-timier feel, a more retro feel of watching the games on TV. I'm willing to make that bet.
I do know they made some specific decisions about their lighting and the place to try to give it a different feeling on TV, so I think you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
But even though it looks smaller?
Yeah, no, the players look bigger and the court looks smaller as compared to other broadcasts, you know, where the players look smaller and the court looks huge. But I'm really, they're going for that 80s feel.
Well, their jerseys look like shit. They don't look like they're from a decade. I think they're just really boring. I'm offended by their boringness. It's like not trying. I mean, what were the last new jerseys? The Wizards jerseys, right? Which are awesome.
The Bullets Redux?
Yeah.
Oh, the last new jerseys? Yeah.
All right, well,
I don't like the jerseys, even though I just suggested appropriating the old Nets jerseys. These jerseys that are just nostalgic jerseys. There's no forward thinking jerseys. Exactly. We need to go in a new direction with jerseys.
I
noticed this at the Bucks game. What the Bucks do is go through cycles of
it's Milwaukee.
You know, recycling their old jerseys. I mean, there are teams like the Bulls and the Lakers that basically just have stuck with their jerseys, and the Celtics stuck with their jerseys consistently.
Well, the Knicks have made. I mean, there used to be black outlines.
Yeah, yeah, they got rid of their black outlines.
Which was
so
huge.
The orange,
I mean, that's
just
a
pops.
Massive deal.
So yeah, that's like a big deal for their classic aesthetic.
The
but
Cavs
like,
are another culprit that just keeps recycling.
I like
exactly.
It.
And the only
the
forward,
Cavs I think
the
are
on
a pseudo cutting edge.
The only forward thinking jerseys I can see right now in the NBA are the Rockets.
Okay.
Ugh.
I mean, even though, I mean, granted, you know.
At least they're trying.
At least they're trying.
Yeah,
because
all right,
people,
sure, they're trying.
Because my personal favorite great forward-thinking jersey outside of, like, the ABA awesome jerseys
not the
are.
Nuggets?
No, the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
they
was a
just.
Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah,
this
colored, the tech pixelated skyline.
How did the Warriors fuck up their jerseys? They had the best jersey in the history of
basketball.
The
Warriors jersey was great.
And
yes.
They have somehow warped it into something that looks like shit.
I agreed.
How do you fuck up something? I mean, all right. If
the Chris Mullin era Warriors jersey was a classic jersey.
And you even
no,
care
no,
at
even
all
the
70s
jersey. The
70s
with
the 70s
big
world.
Basketball and the Golden State.
Looking
no,
at
with
the
train,
with
the train
new
car
Warriors
on the back.
Jersey.
The train car on the back.
Yeah, the train car jersey. Just it's a subtle way to adapt something completely the wrong way. And if the Nets just had on their jerseys the numbers with a circle around it, where the color was the negative of that, that would be enough for me to be like, all right, well, that kind of feels like a weird throwback jersey. I'd go with that.
I mean, what has been the last great jersey, the last truly forward-thinking jersey?
The Nuggets. Last
risky, I mean, maybe the Nuggets of the 80s?
No, Nuggets
90s.
Now. The Nuggets of the 90s.
The current Nuggets jersey?
Risky? The Hornets.
Yeah, the Hornets. I mean, I think the Hornets, the Alexander Julian design, like late 80s, early
90s.
Of
the teal?
Yeah, the teal.
Yeah.
I mean, that
popular starter jacket among elementary school girls back in the 90s.
And boys.
And boys.
Yeah, and boys, actually.
Yeah, that was a huge. I think it's the entire reason they got the Panthers as a franchise,
yeah.
The Carolina Panthers who play American football. Is because such a good color choice was made with the Hornets and allowed the Panthers to be so brazen with their neon blue and silver, which they've kept.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas is slightly forward-thinking. I mean, when Cuban came on and
they're
reimagined...
They're fine.
They're fine. They're passable.
I mean, they're so good.
And
the Bobcats stole their jerseys.
Yeah, they've set the precedent of the new aughts and tens jerseys.
I like
but
the
that's
Thunder
about it.
Jerseys.
Ugh.
The who?
Ugh. Oh, blasphemy. Oh, that is the most generic high school looking jersey possible. I mean, like.
I like the color.
Ugh. I don't. Boo. Ugh.
You like the color of that, but you hate Maya Angelou?
And
what colors do you like?
And
that,
the alternate heat, all black or all white jerseys, ugliest fucking thing imaginable.
It has a lot to do with the people inside of the jerseys.
Yeah, true.
I like the Hawks jersey, don't you, David?
I'm a big fan.
That's it for Sean Kemp Redemption this week. This is a reminder to review us, rate us, review us. It doesn't matter if you say nice things on the iTunes. If you don't have an iTunes account, grab someone's computer who does, and they're probably automatically logged in, and just review us. Put a thingamajigger on there. All right. More Slick Rick.
The old school crew, a serious situation we all go through. It deals with your feelings, so hear what I say. It's like a day when nothing seems to go your way. Bust this, two people, they really like each other. He says there's no one else and she claims there is no other. The feeling's the same and you receive a notion to reveal your inner thoughts and deeply hidden emotions. Times hoping they won't end. Tell your mother about your lover, also your best friend. You're mighty proud while you're holding their hands. Boys, yeah, that's my woman, and girls, yeah, that's my man. This person brings a certain warmth to your heart, and everything seems so great at the start. For she loves him, and he also loves her, and it's hard to turn back to who the person you were. But later on, problems start to occur, and the bond which combines y'all turn into a blur. For the feelings were the same, now here's the score. You love them too much, and they don't love you anymore. Due to your attitude and overall, because you're not being true. Or maybe they're just plain sick of seeing you. Word. Now it might seem strange, you better take hints quick and make the right change. Rolling, they're gone, and part of your heart's been stolen. Get back on your feet with a hop and a skip, but no, you'd rather go with this dead relationship. Hanging around and buying them stuff, you'll see them every darn day, yet don't see them enough. You follow them around and they claim you're hawking. When conversation comes, you do all the talking. Not to mention attention, we all need a bit. Behind your back they're saying, yeah, he's all on my they're getting sick of you. Quite annoyed, and if you have plans for the future, they're now destroyed. You saw what was happening, and you still let it. And if you ever let it make love to your girls, you can forget it. Sweetheart, you've been caught, and it'll spread around town faster than you thought. Then break up time, and you receive the words. Yo, this is from the heart, and I know that part hurts. Get over it from now on, don't take short slick. If it's not true love, you shouldn't deal with it. Just think of your future and what is to come, and pay attention to the words that's in this song. They go...
Where you going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know?